This is USA Radio News.
Would you wait several days for your cell phone to fully charge? Would you wait several days to feel the full effect of relief from your nasal congestion? Flonase Allergy Relief Nasal Spray could take that long. But if you're congested now and you want powerful relief now, use Afrin No Drip. Afrin starts working in seconds.
Excited about being able to host some guests that are going to talk about an event coming up that's very, very special in just a moment. But I did want to let you know.
Hey, Pat.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's 11:01 a.m. in Flemington, Tuesday, October 25th. The weather today is partly sunny with a high near 55. Northwest wind 13 to 16 miles per hour. Tonight we'll have widespread frost after midnight, otherwise mostly clear with a low around 31. Northwest wind 5 to 7 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tomorrow, widespread frost before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 51. And Wednesday night, increasing clouds with a low around 33. Thursday night, we'll have a little bit of rain, mainly afternoon, highs near 51. Northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southeast in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 80%. And Thursday night, showers likely mainly before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Chance of precipitation is 70%. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 59. And Saturday, a chance of showers and then clear again on Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 60 degrees. We'll be back after this commercial with Joe Patton and Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Knighty & Associates, and you are listening to Some Things About Money. For a change, we'll talk about money. Money's a good thing. We'd like to have more of it, although there are a couple of people around, Ken Langone and David Stockton. They're talking about how the economy may have a problem right after the election. We'll see, but in the meantime, it's not having exactly a great day right now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 18,184. That's down 38.32, or about 0.2%. The S&P 500 is sitting at 2145, down over 6 points, or almost 0.3%. And the NASDAQ is at 5291. That's down almost just over 18 points now, a little bit over 0.3%. Over in Europe, a little bit mixed. European markets are losing some ground to trade being under pressure and earnings being a concern. No different than here, really. The DAX is down 5 about 5.5. The FTSE's down, let's see, they're up about 42 points. The CAC over in France is down 19. Oil prices, well, we're looking at oil down 51 cents a barrel to $50 and a penny. And gold is up $7.90 to $1,271.60 an ounce. Over to the bond side, U.S. Treasuries kind of mixed after consumer data, and central banks are really in focus today. The yield on the 10-year Treasury is down to 1.747%. So that's our update. I'll tell you, it really is starting to feel like fall out there. We have the breeze. We have the chill in the air. They're forecasting a hard freeze tonight. I don't know. I don't think I like this very much, Tony. So, yeah, Tony, of course, is on the board with me this morning, shaking her head. She knows it's radio, but she just doesn't really want to talk. And I understand. Now she's laughing at me, making faces. I thought maybe, she was looking at the screen, but no. On the positive side, we're looking at U.S. home prices. They rose 5.3% in August, and that was the S&P Case-Shiller Index. Thanks to positive economic growth, rising prices, and wider home affordability. Now, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Index rose 5.1% year over year, and that was up from July's 5%. According to David M. Blitzer, all 20 cities saw prices higher than a year earlier, with 10 enjoying larger annual gains than last month. David Blitzer, of course, is the managing director and chairman of the Index Committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Now, looking ahead, he was saying that with the National Home Price Index almost surpassing the peak set 10 years ago, one question is how the housing recovery compares with the stock market recovery. Top gainers in August were Portland, Oregon, with an 11.7% increase year over year, and Seattle at 11.4% over last year. Denver, well, they came in third, boasting an 8.8% increase year over year. So we still have positive news in the housing market. Now, you probably are familiar with, state of New Jersey passing the gasoline tax that will be taking effect shortly, and I don't know too many people that are really happy with that. We all know that the Transportation Trust Fund is in dire need of replenishing, and anybody who drives the highways in the state realizes that we're well overdue for an infrastructure facelift. Earnings, well, let's take a look at energy as an investment. Are energy headwinds set to abate? Well, on Friday, ExxonMobil and Chevron are scheduled to release their third quarter earnings results. The reports could tell us much about the path not just of the energy sector going forward, but the broader S&P 500 earnings trends as well. Now, look for detailed commentary from both energy giants that we mentioned. That was according to Chris Trimble, who is the Ameriprise Senior Energy Analyst. He came out with a report on energy on Friday. Now, according to FactSet, mean estimates for third quarter earnings per share from both companies are expected to decline year over year. If both companies do report a decline in earnings per share, it will mark the seventh consecutive quarter that each company has done so. The consecutive quarters of decline also holds true for the broader energy sector as well. Now, why is ExxonMobil and Chevron so important to investors? Well, their combined weighting represents roughly 31% of the S&P 500 energy index and almost 3% of the broader S&P 500 index. Falling earnings per share results for the energy sector has been a considerable weight on the overall earnings story, particularly for results of the broad S&P 500 index. As many charts have indicated, when the large consecutive energy EPS share growth declines are included in the S&P 500 index, year-over-year earnings growth has been negative for the last five consecutive quarters, not including third quarter results. However, when energy is excluded, S&P 500 company earnings per share has been negative only once over that time span, and that was the first quarter of 2016. Now, although the energy sector is expected to post a 77% decline in earnings per share growth for all of 2016, analysts expect the worst to be over and the sector to begin contributing to the S&P 500 EPS growth in 2017. Starting in quarter 1 17, the energy sector is expected to be the largest positive contributor to earnings per share growth for the year. Higher expected oil prices, as well as very easy earnings comparisons, could help reduce or eliminate the long-running theme of energy playing the spoiler role when it comes to the overall earnings story. Now, we note that the lead month crude oil futures price is now $50.40 compared to $44.60 this time last year. Subsequent crude monthly contracts for 2017 show oil prices likely to be stable to higher next year, which bodes well for energy companies as well. As the price of oil is the key driver for earnings, as highlighted in our recently published Capital Markets Digest, we adjusted our tactical recommendation on energy from underweight to equal weight at the end of the third quarter. Now, over in the Asia Pacific, equities finished mostly higher today. Japan equities were supported by yen weakness, while the People's Bank of China fixed the yuan at another six-year low. According to FactSet, growing concerns over a lower yuan were somewhat appeased during the session after the People's Bank of China deputy governor reiterated a desire for stability. Additionally, press reports across the region indicated yen bullishness has faded as of late. Over the past 2 weeks, there has been a significant cutback in bullish yen trades by leveraged funds, according to CFTC data. A stronger U.S. dollar and receding fear of downward revisions to Japanese earnings guidance has lessened the need for safe haven asset buyings through the yen. Separately, South Korean third quarter GDP grew at about 0.7% quarter over quarter, better than the 0.6% expected, but slower than the 0.8% recorded during the second quarter. In Europe, while markets, as we mentioned earlier, across the region have been mixed, October German IFO survey data demonstrated that business climate, current conditions, and expectations were all stronger than consensus estimate, with the business climate and current conditions improving over September survey results. Like the U.S., it's earnings season across Europe, although the flurry of earnings reports is just starting. Reported third quarter earnings per share growth for the 18% of companies in the MSCI Europe Index that have reported results indicate earnings per share growth of 6.3% year over year. Also, like the U.S., if the current trend in European earnings continue, it would mark successive quarters of improvement. So there we go, Tony, as far as a little bit of information on energy, a little bit of information on Europe, and a little bit of information on what's been happening in Asia. Let's see. What are we looking at now when it comes to the markets? Well, still down on the Dow. We're down 40. The S&P's down 6 1/3. The NASDAQ's down a little bit over 18. Europe is still mixed. DAX is just barely down 4 points. FTSE's up 39. The CAC 40's down 18. Oil, again, is sitting at $49.95 a barrel, down 57 cents. Gold prices are up $8.40 an ounce, and the 10-year Treasury is still lower at a yield of 1.744%. Other things that we're going to be talking about this morning is really how much risk equity investors are taking. So even if earnings come through, what's going to happen there? There's also some information on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Senator Elizabeth Warren has this vision for it, and we'll talk a little bit about the Bureau. And searching for yield? Well, aren't we all searching for yield? Because right now, we're in a very, very, very low yield environment. So, you know, Labor Day, that's been in the rearview mirror. Investment professionals have returned from a typically quiet August and September and are scratching their heads while searching for yield in the fixed income universe. Since the initial free fall in the U.S. corporate bond market in February of this year, spreads have been steadily tightening, forcing yields lower. While much of the easy money has been made this year, we believe areas of the U.S. corporate bond market offer a reasonably attractive yield, but not without certain unique systematic risks. Global central bank policies have created an abundance of global money supply, which leads to an artificially strong demand for yield. As a result, income-starved foreign investors have turned to the U.S. corporate bond market in search for yield. Along with these tactical tailwinds, we do not foresee a heightened U.S. default rate in the immediate future that would potentially scare away such foreign buyers. However, we do caution that any shift in global central banks away from monetary stimulus and bond buying programs could create a risk-off environment that we believe may lead to higher U.S. Treasury yields and a wider credit spread, resulting in a sharp drop in corporate bond prices. So you need to pay attention. In this unique market dynamic, we believe investors must be fervent in their credit selection and not reach for whatever bond offers the greatest yield to maturity. Specifically, we believe the sweet spot for investors seeking yield in the current environment is at the low end of investment-grade rated companies, BBB, and or the higher end of high yield, BB, depending on risk tolerance. Admittedly, the yields on these securities are not comparable to what they once were, but we argue that attempting to achieve yields in line with the past can only be accomplished by taking on undue levels of risk. There is no free lunch. Have we heard that before? I could imagine, you know, telling your kids that on a regular basis. No free lunch. Make sure you bring money. Otherwise, you're going to be stealing your friend's food at lunchtime. No, just kidding. So with that, we're going to take our first break of the show. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about market conditions. We'll talk about risk and that Consumer Protection Board. You are listening to Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner at Patton, Heide & Associates. And this is Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton, Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. And before we go back to Joe, I just wanted to mention that this Sunday, October 30th, the Flemington Fine Artisans Show will be at the Stengel Factory in Flemington from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and they plan to have a show and sale of exceptional handmade art and craft by outstanding area artists. Admission and parking are free, so be sure to check it out Sunday, October 30th at 10 a.m. at the Stengel Factory in Flemington.
Well, not just that, Tony. We also have the
28th Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase that is going to be taking place on Thursday, November 10th at 100 Central Regional High School in the Fieldhouse Commons area. And that will be held between 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. The Restaurant Showcase runs from 5 to 7 p.m. So I just want to remember to remind everybody that it's there. You should go. It's an opportunity to meet many of the businesses that are located here in the county, and you never know when you're going to meet them. And having the opportunity to actually talk to the owners or the people who work at these businesses face to face, this makes for a better relationship when the time does come to you to use them. So, as usual, you can never buy local and buy opportunity. With that being said, we talked about risk. So, tell me how much risk equity investors are taking. How are they doing today, even if things do come through? And every morning I read the morning research notes from Ameriprise, and they show basically that basic equity valuation measures such as price to earnings and price to sales, other information such as risk measures, style rotations, and stock correlations. You know, all the fun, simple things that we look forward to learning more. Well, maybe not, but that's what I do. All these things do help put those measures into context. And when you look at the total, and it's still historically low interest rates, it can be difficult to put single valuation measures into perspective, though. One measure of how much risk investors are willing to take is how far in the future investors are willing to look justify their purchases. And for perspective, during the lackluster market of the 1970s, most investors used trailing four quarters earnings, even book value, to gauge stock values. Book value uses some input calculated in the distant past and is most useful for resources intensive companies. In the 1980s, investors shifted their earnings outlook to two forward, two back, using two historical earnings quarters and two expected future ones. The U.S. economy underwent substantial transformation from primarily industrial towards the service economy, and book value became gradually less reliable. In the 1990s, technology ramped its contribution to the gain of productivity growth. Investors began to comfortably, even too comfortably over the decade, adopt forward four quarters earnings outlooks for valued companies. In the 2000s, economic productivity measures, including corporate profit margins, have received a further boost from newly opened global markets that brought down costs. The most commonly used earnings measure is largely quarters. Now, in isolation, investors are typically willing to discount earnings far out into the future when there is high confidence in the economic outlook. High confidence in the future, especially further out, implies the amount of risk embedded in the outlook is relatively low. When perceived economic risk is high or increases, investors tend to pull back how far out they are willing to pay for future earnings. The consensus view, when stated, is that economic and S&P 500 earnings per share growth rates should increase over the next several quarters, nudging global central bankers to gradually turn off monetary easing faucets, but only gradually. In our view, major inflections typically bring potential for enhanced volatility. Over the past several months, while commonly cited volatility measures have remained low, investors they've really shifted significantly among equity styles in favor of high beta away from high quality dividends, for instance. And those shifts have decreased equity correlations, making headline volatility, calculations lower despite significant moves within the market. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to measure volatility. But we're expecting more, and we expect to continue to shift. That's the takeaway from that. We were talking about Harvard Law School professor and now Senator Elizabeth Warren. That was a big sigh. I heard someplace in the room. Well, she has envisioned the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as a new financial watchdog with the authority to rein in the tricks and traps too often buried in the fine print of financial products and services. Now, that was created under Dodd-Frank, where the CFPB works to empower consumers, enforce legislation, and educate consumers. Not unlike what we were talking about with the Department of Labor Fiduciary Standards. The agency has enacted new regulations related to debt collections, mortgages, and prepaid accounts, as well as proposing changes to payday lending and the use of arbitration. Recently, the CFPB has made headlines for settling with Wells Fargo. It was over the allegations of aggressive sales practices and recent federal appeals court ruling where it deals in legal independence is unconstitutional. Since the 2011 launch, the agency has been lightning rod for both the industry and Washington, D.C. Republicans. Unlike other independent federal agencies, such as the SEC, an individual rather than a commission of bipartisan presidential appointees head of the CFPB. The current director is former attorney, Ohio Attorney General and deputy champion, Richard Cordray, the lead for cause, which is defined as an inefficiency and lack of duty and malfeasance. Serving a 5-year term at this point for those things. In addition, the Federal Reserve funds of the agency rather than the Congressional Appropriations Committee. So it's really an interesting structure. Earlier this month, the Federal Appeals Court panel comprised of judges appointed by Republican presidents ruled the CFPB structure was unconstitutional and was given too much authority and autonomy to its director. The court opined the CFPB lacks the checks and balances of a traditional government agency. The panel recommended the president should be able to remove its director at will and supervise the agency itself. Although the CFPB is expected to appeal the ruling, we believe the court ruling could strengthen Republican cause to overhaul the agency and pave the way for the Republican presidential removal of the director if Democrats retain the House. So we anticipate continued support for the CFPB in its current structure. So politics as usual. Personally, I think we need a consumer protection watchdog given to their own devices and vices. We've had too many instances of institutions, both public and private, taking advantage of consumers over the years. I think it really depends on politicians coming together and deciding on how to do the right thing. What do you say? So, I think, Tony, we need to take another quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about more something's going on.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Obamacare, he said, is the craziest thing.
Donald Trump taking aim at Obamacare, quoting some recent remarks made by Bill Clinton.
People wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half.
Just before Trump makes those remarks at a rally in Tampa, Florida, the government releases a report in which it says the cost of coverage under the Affordable Care Act is expected to rise an average of 22% next year.
And Hillary Clinton wants to double down and make it more expensive.
Trump says if he wins, he'll repeal and replace it.
Well, this is not the way this country should treat their veterans.
House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy on reports thousands of California National Guardsmen who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan are being told by the Pentagon to repay enlistment bonuses. McCarthy saying he's written the Pentagon chief saying to stop the demands or he'll push legislation that will waive them. This is USA Radio News.
Could your congressman pass the FBI security check? Enemies Within, a documentary that will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, exposes 80 congressmen and 20 senators who cannot. Enemies Within shows how communists, socialists, and extremist progressives are able to influence politicians and even write the laws that control the lives of all Americans. Trevor Loudon's best-selling book has been brought to the screen, and now you can have it on DVD. It must be watched before this election. Order your copy now and schedule a viewing party. Order it at enemieswithinmovie.com/USA and share it with your friends and family. The socialist enemy and the Muslim Brotherhood have already infiltrated the government. This film exposes who they are and how they must be stopped. Get it now at enemieswithinmovie.com/USA.
This is Tony, and this is Some Things About Money, and we'll do a quick weather break, and then we'll get back to Joe Patton with Some Things About Money. Today is partly sunny with a high near 55, northwest wind 13 to 16 miles per hour, widespread frost after midnight tonight, otherwise mostly clear with a low around 31. Wednesday, widespread frost just before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 51, and increasing clouds into the evening with a low around 33 on Wednesday night. Thursday, rain mainly afternoon, highs near 51, northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming southeast in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 80%, and Thursday night showers likely mainly before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 44. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 59, partly cloudy in the evening with a low around 37. And Saturday we'll have a slight chance of showers, 40% chance, and then partly sunny with a high near 60. Saturday and Sunday mostly cloudy with a low around 40s. We'll be right back with Some Things About Money.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
And we're back, and you're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. We're located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey, in the Gephardt & Kiefer building. And if you'd like to give us a call and talk about issues that are important to you or come in for a meeting, you could reach us at 908-713-6600. Well, canary in a coal mine. One of those things that you look for when you're trying to get a sense of whether you're safe or not. And when it comes to the economy, there's one area that we want to look at, and this is according to John Kyle Cartwright, who's Senior Research Analyst of Fixed Income at Ameriprise. The question becomes what the truck driver shortage tells us about the economy. Now, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 70% of the nation's merchandise is transported by nearly 3.5 million commercial truck drivers. When the economy picks up steam in the U.S., generally, well, you need more long-haul trucks, like a full truck load or TL trucks, to prevent shipping containers packed with products and merchandise from piling up on the docks or train stations. At the same time, when more and more merchandise is needed to restock inventories, the nation could demand additional short-haul trucks. Since trucks need drivers, we believe investors can use the status of commercial truck drivers to help forecast where we are in the business cycle or if the economy is picking up steam. Now, truck drivers were among the first to be laid off when the U.S. economy slowed down in 2006. These once loyal drivers were cast aside by employers with little warning and often with not enough savings to feed their families, in our view. Most of them eventually found work outside of the trucking industry. When the economy improved, companies tried to rehire these experienced drivers, but few were willing to come back and give the industry a second chance to lay them off. As a result, early stages of trucking upcycle are often marred by an almost inevitable driver shortage, in our view. The American Trucking Association currently estimates the truck driver shortage at nearly 50,000. If companies can't attract laid-off workers to come back, then they may have to wait for new drivers to become more competent. Sadly, it can take up to 3 years for a novice truck driver to be considered experienced enough to be out on her own. That means the industry has to retain older drivers and poach drivers from the competitors. The industry has been so successful at incentivizing older drivers to avoid retirement that more than 10% of commercial truck drivers in the U.S. are now older than 65. That's according to the American Trucking Association. For obvious reasons, older drivers may not be a long-term solution to the driver shortage, and it may be optimistic to expect drivers in their 70s, 80s, and even 90s to tide the industry over until the next generation of drivers are ready to roll on their own. Today, LTL trucking companies routinely offer experienced driver signing bonuses equal to 20% to 25% of annual salary, suggesting that the short-haul segment is growing, in our view. Unfortunately, it appears that the TL segment is continuing to lose both business and drivers to the LTL sector. We are encouraged that the TL sector is attracting new drivers by offering scholarships and paid positions to those willing to earn a Class A commercial vehicle driver's license, but we have yet to see TL salaries and bonuses move up to match the incentives offered by the LTL operators. In our opinion, rising compensation packages in both LTL and TL trucking sectors can be an early sign that the economy is strengthening. In our view, the current state of the TL and LTL driver incentives suggests that we are approaching a near-term bottom and that we may not have to wait much longer to see a recovery in the TL sector. Near-term recovery in the TL trucking sector could leave the door open for the possibility that the U.S. economy could surprise us in the second half of 2017 and be stronger than we currently expect. So, you know, that is our canary in the coal mine, looking at that sector. Tony, I'm wondering what the money habits are that make couples happy with each other. You know, we hear a lot of this in our conversations with clients, and they'll come in and sit across the conference room table from Michelle and I, and you know, they'll start looking at each other and go, and the griping starts. And you know, it's kind of funny when we put on our hats, where you know, we become specialists at calming them down. But I guess there's some secrets to financially happy couples, and you know, the Ameriprise study on couples and money does provide some interesting answers. And I just want to read through some of this here, which is kind of eye-opening for people. What you may not realize is that most couples really do agree on money, but those who are not in tune financially tend to have issues communicating on financial matters. While the majority of couples have different money management styles, two-thirds have developed financial harmony over time. 40% of couples who disagree about money say that an advisor helped them make decisions about financial concerns that may otherwise have caused a lot of tension in their relationship. So I think that's kind of common sense. We've all experienced some of that over the time. Now, all of the issues that can spark conflict in a relationship, of all of them, money has long been thought to be at the top of the list. Money troubles can trigger arguments, stir up resentment, or even push partners towards breakups. But while couples might sometimes disagree about money, the happiest ones know how to work through their differences. According to the Ameriprise Financial Study on Couples and Money, a remarkable 77% of American couples report they are on the same page about their finances. How do they achieve this harmony? I mean, what's their secret? Did the money styles mesh from day one? How did they handle the inevitable challenges? And what can less agreeable couples learn from them? These are some of the questions Ameriprise set out to answer. Top five money habits of happy couples. Well, open communication is one hallmark of a healthy relationship. Perhaps not surprisingly, the study found that couples who are in sync about their finances, nearly 7 out of 10, 68%, describe good communication over finances with their spouses or partners as perfect or very good. What do they do? Well, they make money a priority. Half of those surveyed believe that money is an important factor in their relationship, and only 15% say it's not important. Also, most talk about and agree on financial goals and shared responsibilities. 68%, in fact, rate their communication on financial matters as good or perfect, and 82% of couples have discussed retirement and have similar reviews on how to approach it. They set spending limits. For example, any purchases over $400 on average need to be discussed. The majority have joint banking accounts. And if one partner keeps money separate in another account, the other is typically aware of it. And they share responsibility for retirement planning and investment decisions. 92% agree on their target retirement savings goals. Let's see. Well, opposites. What if you're not the same? Well, opposites can complement each other. As anyone in a committed relationship will tell you, making the partnership work requires just that, plenty of work. But the most satisfied and financially compatible couples have learned to adjust if one person is, for example, a spender and the other is a saver. How have they found the balance? Well, through patience, commitment, and a willingness to grow and adapt. 73% of individuals have money management styles that are different from their partners. A remarkable 82% say they work quickly to resolve their differences and move on. About two-thirds evolved into their financial responsibilities, and one-third deliberately discussed how they would split up their roles. Well, here's another unavoidable fact about relationships. In the most patient, loving, and committed relationships, couples argue. And as the study uncovered, money is a common cause for these quarrels. Approximately 31% of all couples, even the happiest ones, clash over their finances at least once a month. The most common points of disagreement? Major purchases comes in number one, 34%. And then came decisions about finance and children, 24% of the respondents with kids. A partner's spending habits, 23%. And important investment decisions, 14% of the disagreement. The value of an objective third-party viewpoint. Wow, isn't that what counselors are for? People go there for objective viewpoints. Or maybe to complain, I'm not sure, maybe both. The study also found that turning to a neutral party, such as a shared financial advisor, can be particularly an effective way to deal with disagreements about money. Couples who see the same advisors report that it has helped them improve both their communication and their understanding about financial matters, and it's helped to fuse a lot of potential conflicts. Approximately 40% of couples who describe themselves as not on the same page financially say that advisors have helped them negotiate money issues that might otherwise have caused a lot of tension. There's also discussion of financial issues prior to marriage or moving in together. People come to a mutual understanding of financial roles and responsibilities. They make investment decisions and retirement goals a priority in a relationship, and they work with financial professionals on a tailored approach to manage their finances. So, you know, when you're looking at couples, those are the things couples do in order to make things work in the relationship. It doesn't just happen, you know, where you wake up one day and you're on the same page. I don't know how that works in life for just about anybody. So You're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates, and with me is Tony Clark working the board today. And as you can tell, the voice is straining a little bit. There was a lot of talking going on before we came out here to the radio studio here at Huntington Chamber. And we have one more segment to go through. And I think what I might do is talk a little bit about women and financial decision-making, how roles are changing across generations. Normally, this would be something Michelle would talk about, but I don't think we want to wait another week. It's just too important to go through. In the meantime, taking a look at the market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is still in the red, but not as red as it once before. It was once before. The Dow's down 41 points to 18,181. The S&P is down 5.94 points at 21.45. The NASDAQ is down a little bit over 20 at 52.89. Looking at Europe, well, still it was the same thing. The DAX finished down 16.53. The FTSE up 23.94. The CAC down over 18 points. Over looking at oil, oil is down 41 cents a barrel to $50.11 a barrel. Gold is at $1,273.90 an ounce, up $10.20 an ounce, and the 10-year Treasury yield is lower. We're looking at a yield now of 1.751%. So bond prices are higher, yield is lower. So, Tony, let's take our last break of the show. You're listening to Some Things About Money. Again, this is Joe Patton. And when we come back, we will talk about women and financial decision-making. This is Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we are back. Again, Joe Patton, and this is Some Things About Money. Thanks for tuning in. Women in financial decision-making. Yes, roles are changing across generations. We see that in our office every day. You know, many women of all ages say they feel good about their financial engagement. Compared to younger women, baby boomer women are more likely to be engaged in finances as they enter a near retirement, probably because it just becomes that much more important at that point. They're living longer. Generation X women are facing more life challenges than any other generations, while millennial women, they show a high willingness to learn about finances. There was another Ameriprise study that revealed that women of all ages are more engaged in financial decision-making than ever before. Here's what that may mean for you and your family. According to Marcy Hackler, the story that they uncovered when they talked to three generations of American women was really an empowering one. At the same time, though, there's plenty of opportunity for women to be even more engaged in their finances. The bulk of the study findings show that women's reasons for making financial decisions, not to mention comfort with making them, differ substantially among generations. Boomer women, they're making decisions out of necessity as they near retirement, and they feel some anxiety about that responsibility. Millennial women, on the other hand, are making these decisions because they like to and they feel they have the financial knowledge. You know, looking at ways women have roles, and well, various roles in making financial decisions, of, let's see, 51% say they share in financial decisions, 41% say they make all the financial decisions alone, and 4%, good to see that number drop significantly, say they are not involved in financial decisions. That's old school, huh? Baby boomer women are more engaged with their finances as they prepare for and enter retirement than they have been at any other time in their lives, according to the study. Baby boomer women are extremely focused on having enough for retirement, 77%, and preparing for unexpected events, 61%. The squeeze generation, Generation X women, have more recently faced life challenges, including divorce, unemployment, or a major loss in assets, according to the data. Many may be dealing with the financial strains of aging parents or grown children needing assistance. These challenges can impact how confident Gen X women feel about finances. Gen X women are more likely to face a life challenge, 51%, than men in their generation, 41%. When faced with life challenges, 70% of all women said they make an effort to spend less money, while 27% attempt to save and invest more. But only one in four Generation X women felt very confident that they made the right financial decisions in their circumstances. Millennial women feel well-educated about finances and are more likely to feel in control of their financial lives, according to the survey. Many of these respondents haven't yet experienced the financial challenges of Gen X and Boomer women, but a lot are in the midst of several life milestones, such as moving in with a partner, buying a home, or having children. Younger women feel strongly that they have received more financial education and are more attuned with financial decisions than their mothers were. They also have access to lots of financial tools and information and know how to use them. Many married millennial women, who are the primary financial decision makers, say they do so because they are more knowledgeable than their partners, 66%, or because they enjoy making those decisions. That was 49%. Keckler says, "I'm engaged and encouraged by how engaged women are of all generations and, you know, as far as their finances, but, you know, there's always room for improvement." The survey results indicated that boomer women, for example, may still need to address several issues in retirement, such as health care and long-term care, explains Keckler. The Generation X women who may be feeling overwhelmed need to take the time to make a financial plan. The challenge for millennials may be keeping their optimism intact as they face the financial challenges that may come with age. All three generations can learn from each other, as Keckler. Understanding how other women approach financial decision-making can help increase your knowledge and confidence going forward. Now, your advisor can help you feel more confident about your financial decisions and how to best plan for life's milestones and challenges. I can't say enough about how true that is. I've been observing Michelle Heidi, my partner, for many years and dealing with financial planning issues for women. And there is a distinct difference between millennials, Gen Xers, and boomers in terms of the things that Michelle focuses on. And, you know, the concerns of each one of these groups. Our practice typically, you know, we're looking at women and men who are in their mid-50s and higher. So, you know, again, I guess you would look at older X's, X'ers, and boomers as far as our focus, because we do most of our work as it relates to retirement planning. But even for the younger people, it's refreshing to see how much more engaged they are in the entire process and how they've embraced the tools and how they ask fabulous questions and they're just so focused on the objectives that they're setting for themselves and their family. So kudos to them. I like to see it. Let's see. Let's go over announcements one more time. Tony, what was that one program that you were talking about over at Steigl?
This is the Flemington Fine Artisans Show. It's Sunday, October 30th at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Steigl Factory in Flemington. It's a show and sale of exceptional handmade art and crafts by outstanding area artists. Admission is free and parking is free. It's on Sunday, October 30th at 10 a.m.
That's good. And the one that, you know, I guess Michelle and I have been going to for many years now is the, you know, 110 Chamber of Commerce Business Home and Expo and Restaurant Showcase. And as we mentioned earlier, it is on Thursday, November 10th. It runs from 2 to 7 p.m. at the 110 Central Regional High School Fieldhouse and Commons area. The Restaurant Showcase, which I really enjoy, that goes from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And if you want to have more information, you could look it up on the Chamber website. That's at www.110-chamber.org. Or give them a call. Chamber number is 908-782-7115. That's 908-782-7115. And oh, we have a lot of sponsors. And we have presenting sponsors, PNC, 110 Healthcare, HealthQuest, you know, just to name a couple, Flemington, you know, auto dealers. I mean, you know, it's just ShopRite, of course, has been a huge supporter forever. They just have a tremendous spread out there. So when you walk in and walk around, you're not going to miss ShopRite, no doubt about it. But and there are many others as well. So we're looking forward to seeing you. Well, Michelle and I will be walking around. We like to do that every year. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, get reconnected with a lot of the small businesses in the county and Chamber of Commerce members, most of whom we've known for many, many years. And that's the other interesting thing about our practice. You know, we're sort of resource brokers, if you will. You know, and so many of people who have needs for somebody in the home healthcare industry, or, you know, and maybe unfortunately it's funeral services or some other type of service that they happen to need at a given time. We've been out here for so many years and know so many people. We can provide you with a few alternatives to check out, all of whom are very good at what they do. It's one of the benefits that we provide for our clients and our friends here in Hunterdon County. So please stop by the expo. Maybe you catch us walking around, maybe being interviewed by Chris on Chamber Radio. I'm sure we'll have an exposure there. And you'll see a lot of other people who you've been doing business with over the years. It's surprising how small the community is. The longer you're here, the more people you know, and it just seems to get smaller and smaller. But hope to see you. Again, this is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner with Tony Clark. You've been listening to Some Things About Money. Hopefully you get out and do some shopping today. You know, just make sure you anchor your car down, because there have been a couple of gusts of wind that are a little bit uncomfortable, and reminding us that it is the fall season. And just go out, support the local businesses, because they're there to support you. And, you know, they provide so much of a benefit to the county in terms of tax and jobs and all of the things that we rely upon here. So kudos to them. Kudos to you for continuing to be patrons of those businesses and consumers of their products. And we hope that you continue to tune into Some Things About Money. And next week, we will talk to you again. You have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Obamacare, he said, is the craziest thing.
Donald Trump taking aim at Obamacare, quoting some recent remarks made by Bill Clinton.
People wind up with their premiums doubled and their coverage cut in half.
Just before Trump makes those remarks at a rally in Tampa, Florida, the government releases a report in which it says the cost of coverage under the Affordable Care Act is expected to rise an average of 22% next year.
And Hillary Clinton wants to double down and make it more expensive.
Trump says if he wins, he'll repeal and replace it.
Well, this is not the way this country should treat their veterans.
House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy on reports thousands of California National Guardsmen who fought in Iraq and Afghanistan are being told by the Pentagon to repay enlistment bonuses. McCarthy saying he's written the Pentagon chief saying to stop the demands or he'll push legislation that will waive them. This is USA Radio News.
If you have ever had an email account, shopped online, or used a credit card to make purchases, you are in dire jeopardy of identity theft. You must protect yourself now. Call our partner, ID.